It is such a joy to be at Main Street United Methodist Church. I have known this church for many years. My daughter got married here, and I was so scared. Three times in my life, I was really scared. Fell off a mountain once. I was sent out to sea once, and the third time was Elise getting married. Whew! That's a scary thought. We are delighted. My son Adrian and Rhonda and their children are members here, and y'all have a long, wonderful heritage. I see my superintendent minister here. Isn't that just precious? Woo! I'm so glad to be here. Well, I noticed that y'all have water. Is this for baptism or something? I've never had water before. That is just neat. Anyway, I was at the early service, and I had a great time. And I heard that several of you were coming to the 11 o'clock service, and I says, oh dear, once of that sermon is enough. So I'm going to change it. Don't be scared. I usually do crazy things like that. Don't you love the choir? Yes. There is no doubt which way you're singing at Main Street. It is strong, it is good, and it is marvelous. Y'all look good. Take a moment to look at each other. Don't y'all look good? Yes. Anyway, I have one story. That's it. And the scripture is different. Scripture comes from the Gospel of Hebrews. I mean, the letter of Paul to Hebrews, 12th chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of God for the people of God. I'd like to thank you because y'all sent Sheila. Sheila, raise your hand. And Mama, raise your hand. Y'all sent us to the Caribbean to be missionaries. Thank you. It was wonderful. We lived only 500 yards from the beach. We lived in a tropical climate. We lived in heaven itself. And you paid for it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We were there for 3 years, wonderful years. It wasn't easy all the time, but we started off, Sheila and I, with 7 churches, and then we went to 10 churches, and then we went to 13 churches. Sheila preached at 9 and 11. I preached at 7, 9, and 11, and that caught half of them. And the other half was done by local preachers, and we had a marvelous time. Main crop, bananas. I can give you 50 recipes for bananas. We also had goats, not bad. Sheep, not bad. Fish, not as much as you would expect. And, of course, the mainstay of all American diets is chicken. You know, we only had chicken, only the dark meat, and it was very good. And it was a spice island, so every valley, every place you went by, you smelled cinnamon and cloves. You smelled all the spices, and you could see all the trees that God has made to produce fruit. It was like the Garden of Eden. It was a mountainous country with 18 by 12 in size, top speed 35 miles an hour, and that's only for half a mile. We were very good at that, and we had many churches to build, parsonages to build, and so we invited work teams to come and be with us. Methodists, 10,000 strong out of a population of 115,000. The French who colonized it had the Catholic Church. The English who colonized it had the Episcopal Church, and we were the slave church. And we were the indentured church of the servants. And we grew in size to be one of the three great churches. All education in Methodism and St. Vincent started where? In the Methodist church. We're good at that. And so there we were, Sheila and I, taking care of 13 work teams during our 3-year stay. That's how you build churches. You invite work teams. You have an extra place to do something here, which you already have a beautiful place. But if you need some more, get some work teams. They'll help out. They're great. And it's a small island, though. There's not much entertainment. They work for 5 days a week. On Sunday, they go to church, to 4 or 5 churches. I mean, they're exhausted after that. But on Saturday, it's their free day. So on Saturday, we'd go to the capital city. It was called Kingstown. And in Kingstown, you could shop, and I could go from one end of Kingstown to the other end of Kingstown, see everything there was to see in 2 hours. So in other words, there's not a whole lot of shopping there. The other thing you could do is you climb the semi-active volcano called the Soufriere. Yes, now that is a weekend. You had to walk it. So 1 week we would take the whole work team to Kingstown, and there they would spend all morning. I have no idea what they did with a whole morning in Kingstown. They must have been very slow shoppers. And then on the second weekend, we were going to the mountains. We were going to climb the Soufriere 4,000 feet high by foot in a tropical climate. And we were so excited, pumped up, ready to go. And so on the morning of beginning, it was at 5 o'clock that we got up, because after all, it is a long distance up there. And some of those work team members says, I'm going shopping. I don't know why you're going shopping. There's nothing else left there to see. But they wanted shopping, you know how it is. Maybe they forgot something. And so not everybody would join us, but enough would join us. And we'd get in these little vans, and off the coast we would go see the sunrise on the eastern side of the island. The Pacific Ocean was gray and wavy, and it was just marvelous fresh air. We'd have bananas for breakfast and bread and coffee. No milk. They didn't have any milk. And so off we'd go. When we got to Georgetown, we would change transportation systems. We would get into Land Rovers and Jeeps, because you left the highway and now you went into dirt roads and tracks. And off we would go, and we would see these beautiful coconut plantations. Also in the background, you see little crops growing here and there. That was the marijuana fields. Thank heavens, no work team member ever asked to go there. I was surprised, partially. I didn't know if they had ever seen one. Anyway, when we finished the roads, we come to the end of the road, and it was just jungle in front. Off we would get up, and all of us would be full of energy, having eaten such good breakfast early in the morning. We would go into a tropical rainforest. It was a perfect rainforest. No poisonous snakes. The only wild animal is one animal that you are aware of, the possum. The possum was seen every so often. Orchids in the trees, hundreds of them. And then the thing that amazed me the most was bamboo poles. Bamboo is small here in the States. The biggest one is about 2-3 inches wide, isn't it? Something like that. In St. Vincent, with the climate we had them the size of pine trees and just as wide. I always wanted to get one of those and go out fishing. I'd catch a whale with that. It was nice. We would walk in the tropical rainforest. It was cool in the morning and fun, up and down a little bit. And finally, we came to a stop, and there was a river on a riverbed made out of the previous year's volcano eruption, and it was pure water. You could drink of it. So we would tell everybody to wash your feet down below, drink the water up front, and have lunch at 9 o'clock. Out would come the bananas, and out would come the chicken, and we would have a fine lunch, get ourselves, and we would tell everybody, now, great place to leave your stuff, because it's going to get harder. And so they would leave their stuff, hide them in bushes, nobody's going to be there. You can hide cameras, anything, it's fine. And then off we'd go, and then you go straight up. There are a lot, you hold on, you know how the best to climb? You hold on to trees. Grab one and you get up there, and you grab another tree and you get up there and you hold on to a rock, that kind of terrain. And the volcano had erupted just shortly before we got there. Everything is destroyed. All there is are stumps and grass and burned material. That was quite a volcano that erupted. And you can feel the wind, and it's getting cooler. And you're going up and down hills, up and down hills, up and down hills. And you look behind and you can see where you've been, the gray Atlantic Ocean back there. And you can see in front of you, and you can see a cloud, big cloud. And we'd say, where's the volcano? And the guide would say, in the cloud. Okay, are we far? And the guide would say, oh no, we're real close. They lied. They lied. Often down we go, up we go, down we go. We were exhausted. And finally, we would look behind, see where we've been, go forward, see the mountain, sort of just a cloud. And finally, we came to the bottom of a hill, and the river is, there's a river this wide. And it's still pure water. And right in front of it is just boulders going straight up. And we come to the foot of the mountain. To walk all that distance and to be at the foot of the mountain, and now you have to go up 4,000 feet, that's ridiculous. We lost some people at the river because they decided that was such a pretty place to stay. Now they come and look at that thing and says, we like this place. We're going to stay here. Y'all come back and pick us up. They were in a ravine. It was the ugliest place in the world, but they were tired. They were wise. They stayed. And then the climbing became worse. And we started going up. Did you ever take two steps forward, one back? That's it. You know how to climb a mountain on all fours? That's the best way of doing it. We would climb, and the weather turned from 85 to 75 to 65 to 60. And we'd put on our little light jackets, and we're still cold. And then we went into the cloud. And we were as lost as we could be. And we said to the guide, how do you know where you're going? And he said, do you see the stones on both sides? Somebody has built a little mound of stones on both sides. If you see stones on both sides, you're in the path. If you see stones on just one side, you're off the path, but not by far. If you see no stones, you will never be found again. So we were very conscious of those folks who had gone before and placed those stones there, and off we go. And it was awful. Oh, we were just finished. And it was blowing hard, and we were in the cloud, couldn't see ahead, and all of a sudden we realized that our hands were touching level ground. And we had made it to the top. So only a 10-yard top, and then it falls again. So being the courageous missionary, I went on all fours. I'm not falling down that thing. And I finally came to one place that there was not a ledge anymore, and I looked down, and the wind blew, and I smelled the sulfur. And then I saw the fire and the smoke, still active. And The wind blew. And I saw behind me where I had been. It had blown all the wind, the cloud out, and I could see the Caribbean, and I could see Georgetown, and I could see the river and the path we had taken to get there. And I would look down, and it was half a mile straight down, and all I could see was fire and smoke. I never saw something scarier in my life. I looked up, and the sun brightened up, and it was beautiful. And then finally, I looked to the other side, and on the other side, I could see the green Caribbean Sea. And it was so beautiful. And that's climbing the volcano. Every single volcano that we had, let me see the time here. Every single volcano that every single work team we had, we went up. I went up 13 times. Elise must have gone up 10, 11 times. She was a guide. She was a good guide. And every work team, they would always have somebody that wanted to stay in our home at Mount Koch because they were going shopping, right? How many of you shoppers? Okay, we have to be honest about this. How many of you would like to get to the first river and stop there where it's beautiful? Some of you are the same people, you know that. Okay, how many of you would like to go to that awful place right before the mountain and stay there? Nah. Okay, how many of you would like to make it all the way up? Oh, that's okay. And that's what happened. Not everybody meant. We would lose people all the way. A few made it all the way up there. And I was thinking, this is the religious part of this sermon. Y'all start life in church, and many of you that are not here have decided never to embark on the journey, have you? You have many friends that have never decided to make religion, church, significant in their lives. Isn't that true? Because they're shopping and other things to do. And it's okay, that's their decision. And there are some of us that are here for a while. But then we kind of get tired of church. And we don't drop off all of a sudden. We slowly drop off, don't we? You have friends and I have friends. Don't we have friends that sang in the choir? They were good for a while and then they sort of just left. Is that true? It's okay. That's where they wanted to stay. And then when the going gets tough, really tough, and we've seen where we've been and we've seen that we still have a lot to go and we come down to this ravine, we decide to stop. I mean, we're tired out. We are middle-aged, getting old, it's enough of church. But then there's always those who say, like you, I'm going to climb that entire mountain, and I will be exhausted when I do. And I hope I make it back before I have a heart attack. But I am going to the top because people have said it's well worth the seeing. And when you start climbing that last bit, you get lost. You thought that you knew where you were going, Diarmond Kennedy. Early on in life, you don't. You find out later in life that you're lost. Still lost. I've been lost all my life. But I know where I'm going. I'm going up. And we come to a point that we have to climb that final climb, and it's the worst climb there is, and we're old. And all that's expected of us is to 2 feet forward and 1 foot back. And if you keep at it, the weather will change, you will be cold, you can't see ahead of you, and all of a sudden your hand will touch level ground. And you will crawl to the edge of the mountain of God, as the passage says. And the wind will blow. And you will see the very depths of God. And the wind will blow and you will see the brightness of God Almighty above you. Clear and distinct. Warm and nurturing. And you will look back and you will see your life all the way back there. Where you've come from. The journey you took. And then at that moment you will see the other side. And at that moment, you'll say to yourself, it's well worth it. 13 times. Not a single work team made it all the way up. All of them. Except one. My senior citizens group. Everybody was over 65 except for a 19-year-old. We decided to go shopping this second week with them because three of them had heart conditions. Wise, right? You don't put a 65 to 85-year-old group going up a mountain 4,000 feet high. No, you don't. I tried to convince them, but somehow they got in their minds that they were climbing that thing. I said, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. And they said, we are going to make a promise. Either all of us make it or none of us make it. Okay. I didn't leave at 5. I left at 3:30. They're slow. They are slow. I'm 64. I know I'm slow. And when we got there, they were so slow walking. All of them together, the pacemakers and all that with them. And we walked and walked and walked. By noon, we had gotten to the river. I said, oh, my gosh. Should have been here 3 hours ago. And when we went up, and when we started going up, it was awful because they really didn't have the ability to climb as well as we do. And they needed help. So we very gently held their hands and helped them up. But after about 15 minutes of that, we gave up. My children and I and Sheila and the young folks that were with us, we changed our tactics. You don't help people up that way fast. You just sort of push. And it doesn't really matter where you push. It was turning dark when they got to the mountain. It was near moonlight when we got to the top. Every single one of them made it. It was early in the morning when we got back. And to the best of my knowledge, they all survived at least 2 weeks later. I leave you with two questions. Are you going to climb the mountain of faith? It's hard. Are you going to do it? Second question is this. Will you lend a helping hand? That's all of us in this place are going to make it. Some folks can't make it by themselves, but they need your help. You can push them any way you want to. Are you going to be the one that lends a helping hand so that all of us in this great godly congregation will make it? All right, that's it. God bless us and keep us. Amen.